Yo, yo, what is going on, you guys? It is your girl here, Simply T, Doubly Poetry, daughter of the late, great Jane Zane of the living and giving Lisa L, and welcome to another episode of the Paradigm Shift Combo, a show created to spark interest and conversation on societal norms, and in most cases, challenges relevance and agenda. The idea of shifting the paradigm is considered rebellious or brash, but in the spoken word open mic communities in which I dwell, this disruption is not only common, but required. Hi, I'm Simply T Poetry, a combat veteran stumbling back into civilian life with a probationary opinion and a handcuffed tongue, excited to freely speak about whatever the hell I want. This is a Paradigm Shift Combo.
Yo, yo, you guys, what is going on? It is yet another episode of the Paradigm Shift Combo, and you are here with your girl, Simply T Doubly Poetry. And with it being February, the love month, I have something special in store for you guys today. The woman who is going to be talking to you and I'm going to be interviewing and getting to understand is none other than a very expert on relationships. Who would have thunk it? So if you are into cultivating your confidence or being passionate with your partner, then guess what? We get to speak with Rachel. Miss Rachel Davis, the relationship expert, is on the line today. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to have you on the show today for so many reasons. One, because it is the month of love, and I think that it's important that people be able to speak about their relationships and be very understanding to it. I feel like it's some taboo kind of conversation that needs to be addressed, and this is definitely the month to do it. So I definitely am happy to have you on the show. And I just want you to go ahead and give us a little bit about you and how you got into being a relationship expert.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So what caused me to really delve into this area as far as relationships are concerned was as a result of having one failed marriage under my belt, and finally having the opportunity to have the type of love that most of us dream about when we really embark on our journey and find our true soulmate. And that happened for me the second go round. And when it came to my now current husband, I knew I was good. However, I also knew that I had the opportunity to be the best. And that is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the best. And as a result of that, I went on a quest to learn as much as I could about men. I learned a lot of information with regards to men in terms of how they think, how they feel, how they show up, how they show love, and how they do the completely opposite of everything that I just mentioned. I also learned about their behavior, how they are conditioned, and how the reconditioning of their behavior, if done correctly, gently, in a safe environment, can really help to bring out the best in a man who will subsequently be his best self for you in the relationship. Honored and pleasure to have the opportunity to mentor under one of Tony Robbins' elite trainers. Mm. And so as a result of that, garnered a lot of wonderful, juicy, delicious information about men and relationships.
Interesting.
And as a result of learning all of that, I put into action what I've learned. And 10 years later, completely and utterly blissfully happy in my marriage.
Okay. So let's talk about this, because I want to, I find it very interesting. I got questions. Okay. Because for 10 years, you've been learning men.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say learning men, because I feel like that's what women do generally, right? Like, mm-hmm. And is that just a misconception that I have, that's what we think we're doing? We're trying to learn our men as a general
mm-hmm.
rule.
Mm-hmm.
So then my question to you would be like, what have you put together and defined that I probably am missing from the things that I think that I've learned?
Absolutely. Great question, by the way. One of the things that I learned about men is that men function from four principal archetypes. So within every man, you have the lover. You also have the warrior. In every man you have the magician, which I would translate to today's time as the intellect. And last but not least, within every man, there's a king. And so when you really learn the four major archetypes that drive a man's behavior, excuse me, when you learn about the four major archetypes that drives a man's behavior, and you make that correlation to how they show up in their intimate relationships, it puts you at a pretty decent advantage when it comes to identifying the right mate for yourself, and when it also comes to identifying the person who doesn't necessarily meet the needs that you require to be happy in a relationship with someone. I think a lot of times, you know, when we think about men and when we think about the relationships with men, we're looking at it from a standpoint and from a criteria that is certainly driven based off of attraction. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I definitely would encourage you to be in a relationship with, and if you choose to subsequently marry someone you're attracted to, I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. But there's more to the physical attraction when it comes to creating a lifelong relationship. And when it really comes down to understanding men, it's learning which one of the four archetypes he leads with and how to identify those archetypes. Ask yourself if the archetype he leads with is in alignment with what you desire in your life. And once you've made that determination, then it puts a woman at a extreme advantage when it comes to managing the outcome of the desired relationship, because you now have a better understanding of how he thinks, of how he feels in relation to the persona, in relation to the archetype that he leads with the most. So the way a man shows love who leads with lover is very different from the way a man who leads with warrior shows love. And it's learning the differences and adapting to that as well. So exciting information.
Okay. I could see that. So basically it's just a matter of, I feel like it to me, it sounds a lot like I correlate it to like love languages. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. being able to have that thought of like the love language that's like, obviously we all have them, but it's probably important to connect with the love language that you're talking to.
Absolutely.
And it's something Absolutely. That we probably don't think about as far as these archetypes are concerned when we're dealing in relationships. So I definitely Right. can put that in placement. Do you think that the reason why some issues happen in relationships is because we're not concerning ourselves with the proper archetype? Because I feel like just because you don't lead with that warrior, mm-hmm. and that's like the one I need you to lead with, I could still deal with you leading mm-hmm. with the loved one, knowing that the warrior is still there.
Right. So the other part of that is, We recognize the beauty in the warrior, right? As a woman, yeah, I want a man who's a warrior. I want a man who will fight for me. I want a man who will protect me. I want a man who will protect our home. I want a man who, you know, who's able to assert himself. I want a man who's able to be powerful in his own right as a warrior. But what we also don't know about the warrior archetype, which I think many of us don't necessarily have access to that information to be privy to, which can create challenges in a relationship, is a warrior needs boundaries. And so, you know, if a man needs his time and his space away with regards to going into his man cave, as the woman, we need to give him that instead of saying, you know, why is it that you're spending X amount of time away from us and the family? You know, one of the other things about the warrior is that he needs time and a space where he can exert that energy, because a man who leads with warrior, he's a wealth of energy. And sometimes we may not necessarily want to be on the receiving end of that energy if it's not befitting to us. And right. So it's really learning not just the archetype, but what makes that archetype tick. And what is it that person needs in order to best function within the relationship, and learning how to identify that and nurture that. So that's the other part of it as well.
There's so many things I've got to tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how. Cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. Cause love, so many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. To know you, longing for your kiss,
for your kiss, touch,
for your feel,
for your
essence. Many nights I've cried from the things you do, felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fears and no questions.
Do you deal with like African American relationships mostly? Is that like
yes, I do.
Okay,
I
is
do.
That because I feel like I love to talk about my culture. So mm-hmm. So I think and I want to get this from you being in that industry when it comes to women, because the things that I've read talk about how we as Black women, we are at a point in society right now where we're like not having children, super independent, one of the most educated in the world, like all these things. And I feel like some of the biggest issues that my generation would have would be the whole independent portion. Like, do you get that a lot? Like, because I feel like a word that's very taboo would be when you have to, what, I don't even know. I don't even want to say it. It don't even want to come to my spirit. But when you have to, like, basically, like, let the man lead, and you just got to take, like, a step back from that uh-huh. position, and we're just so dominating. We're like, we got it. Like, uh-huh. and we don't know how to be submissive. And I feel like, is submission, like, a thing? Like, is that a big thing in our culture right now with women?
Yeah, I don't like the word submission.
Me either.
I know that that word has been weaponized in a lot of relationships in mm-hmm. correlation to what is written in the Bible. I don't think that at the time the Bible was written, the English language, well, the language that was Hebrew, which has been translated into, you know, every single language that's used around the world, I don't think the vocabulary was as sophisticated as it is today to give us more options than the word submission. However, I do believe that in the relationship, if you want to correlate a woman's power, or if her position, rather, based on patriarchal concepts and teachings, is that the woman needs to be submissive, I actually reject that idea and reject that concept. And as opposed to looking at a woman as being submissive, why can't she be influential?
Hmm.
See, I don't necessarily submit to my husband in my marriage. I influence him. That's the power that I have in our relationship. And because he is the person that respects me and respects who I am as an individual, he allows my influence to take shape, where it does nothing more than move the needle forward in terms of how we grow as individuals, as well as how we grow as a unit. And so I think there, you know, in alignment with the title of your show, I think there needs to be a paradigm shift.
Come on
in
now.
how we present the value that we have within a relationship. So I don't submit, I influence, I bring value. I bring love. I create.
Right.
I propel. I expand. I grow. I increase. I don't cower. I don't kowtow. I don't fold. I don't bend. And I certainly don't submit.
Nice.
So, that concept, you know, will be something that I think will be challenged. But for the most part, every time I've had this conversation with women all across the board, when I challenge them to take the power away from the word submission and give them a more empowering word to drive their position in their relationship as being influential, unanimously, 100% of the time, it has helped their relationship for the better.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how, like, well, it's not to me because words have meaning. I'm a poet. But it's mm-hmm. interesting how words can affect entire behavior.
Oh, words create.
It's crazy.
Words create. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
I want
your reality with your words.
Right. And mm-hmm. just the changing of that can just be phenomenally different in how you react to things, you know?
So exactly.
It's great that you tap into that, because that is super important. That's the poet in you. I love it. I've been making everybody poets. So I was, that's super cool. So tell me, like, some of the things that maybe like some of the major things that you teach that are very that you talk about often, like some of the mm-hmm. the big stumps that we as women particularly fall into, like our pitfalls, especially for our
yeah.
culture.
Absolutely. So I think if I could tie this back into what you were saying a little bit earlier, one of the pitfalls that I find occurring within our culture is the emasculinization of men. It's that's a big one.
I had that issue. No, I did that before.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. I had a grown man tell me I took his manhood. I was like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I was so young and dumb. I was like, I took your manhood. Like, basically, I treated him like a child. And I didn't even realize it. because I was a child, but I grew up, I understood. But, okay, I'm sorry, but that just took me back 10, 15 years. Go ahead. Nice.
Wow. Wow. So he actually, and, you know, I think if, so there's, you have two distinct paradigms taking place. You have, you know, the emasculating of a man, and then you have on the complete and utter flip side, you have toxic masculinity. And, you know, and it's finding that happy medium. It's interesting that you were in a relationship with a man who actually felt vulnerable enough to tell you that you took his masculinity away from him. And that's something that I don't think most men would admit to the woman that did that to him. So I'd be interested in learning more about the paradigm, the dynamics of that relationship.
He was a really good guy, actually. He was a really good guy. I messed that up.
Oh, you messed that up. I messed that up. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
I was young.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally get it. But those are the two major issues that I think that I know for certain, based off of my own personal experiences with women and men that I counsel and coach on an ongoing and oftentimes daily basis, is that the day and the times that we live in today requires women to take the lead.
Right.
Take the lead when it comes to education, take the lead when it comes to finances, take the lead when it comes to making decisions that impacts the household overall. And the reason why we've had to take the lead is because in a lot of cases, in the significant cases within our community, you're talking about single parent households. You're talking about the woman being the primary breadwinner in the household. And in often cases, that could potentially have been what her reality was as a child growing up.
Right.
So she saw mommy being strong. She didn't necessarily see daddy around. What she saw in terms of interactions between a man and a woman is how mommy spoke to her brother or how mommy spoke to her son. And so you have a lot of women today who don't really know how to communicate effectively to men because they speak to men as though they're speaking to children and not as though they're speaking to a man. They just don't know how to do that. And so that's when you'll hear men talk about nagging all the time. And it's because the ability to effectively communicate to a man in a manner by which the information will be received has been something that's learned. You know, I can't talk to my husband in the same way I speak to my girlfriend. You know, most men, he wants the highlights. Give him the highlights. And if he's interested in detailed information after that, he's okay with the details. But if you come in and start the conversation about something that happened in the afternoon, but given play-by-play of everything that happened in the morning when you got up and brushed your teeth, he's going to tune it out because, again, that's too much. Reason why that's too much, number one reason, is because men are myopic. They are singular focused. They can only focus on one thing at a time. When they're watching the game, they are solely watching the game.
Interesting.
However, women, we have what's called a diffused awareness. We're designed to be able to multitask. You know, you're cooking dinner, you're taking care of the kids, you're doing homework, you're washing dishes, you have the ability to effectively do more than one thing, whereby men are just, again, keen. If you think of the hunter-gatherer concept, men were hunters, and you had to be very, very intellectually laser-focused when it came to hunting, to feeding yourself and your family in the village. So they were the hunters. So that's what they developed, that singular focus component, versus women, you know, they were the gatherers. So as a gatherer, you're gathering berries, but then you're also making sure your environment is safe. You're also making sure the children nearby are taken care of. So we're used to having a more panoramic view on life and everything that we have to do, and men are just more targeted.
Do you feel like that? Even when it comes down to communication,
pardon?
Do you feel like that's changed? Like, I mean, when you talk about the hunter-gatherer and how the personas were in those days, do you feel like in 2020 that those particular situations and thought processes potentially have changed now that, you know, men are single parents and, mm-hmm. you know, like they have potentially not had the, they don't have the luxury of being myopic in their thinking anymore.
They still are, though. Studies have shown that the human brain hasn't changed in over 10,000 years.
Interesting.
So there's still, like, so you have men that are single fathers, you know, when they're watching the game and then the kid is, their child is there at the same time, it's, you know, they have to switch back and forth, but it's very difficult. Like, they want to focus on what's going on the game. And so there's a responsibility that kicks in to know that they have to be able to take care of that child.
Right.
But if you took the child out of the equation, his innate default setting is always to be singular focused. That's his innate default. So he has to expound upon that in terms of, you know, taking a single father into consideration and having to be mindful of the kids. But I've walked into the room where you've seen that the kids have, like, destroyed the house. You know,
right.
And so the father's right there. He's like, but nobody, did anybody die?
Right.
You know, but the house is destroyed.
Right.
And so it still falls into that concept. I think that we've become we're a lot more sophisticated.
Right.
As human beings, absolutely. But our innate default programming, you know, we still are intrinsically who we are in terms of a bunch of gatherers.
Right. I do believe that concept. Honey, honey, I can see the stars all the way from here. Can't you see the glow on the windowpane? I can feel the sun whenever you're near. Every time you touch me, I just melt away. Now everybody asks me why. Put me first. Baby, it's you. You're the one.
Volunteering to help people in need is a noble gesture. Volunteering to lay down your life for your country is a sacrifice that can never be repaid. In an effort to keep my fellow veterans connected to society and each other, this is VetNet.
Did you know women veterans are 2 times more likely to develop PTSD than men? This alarming statistic and personal experience compelled Tanya and Sherelle into action. Familiar with trauma as combat veterans themselves and inequity as African American women, they founded the Vet Space, a nonprofit organization that is committed to supporting the wellness of women veterans. Tanya and Sherelle have over 40 years of combined experience and training that is necessary to provide A-plus service to women veterans associated with post-traumatic stress disorder, military sexual trauma, and other traumatic experiences. The Vet Space provides support that increases veteran productivity while reducing their feelings of isolation and helps them thrive. Through mindful techniques such as yoga and meditation, they reduce the symptoms of stress that women veterans experience, thereby increasing their sense of well-being and purpose. To know more about the Vet Space, all you have to do is go to thevetspace.com. That's the, like beginning of every sentence, vet, like where you take your fur babies when they're sick, and space, as in out of this world.com to know more. Thevetspace.com. Thank you so much to the Vet Space for putting military families and veterans first. Veterans, let's stay connected.
Let me go back to something that you said where you talked about how women talk to men, the demasculinity of men, and uh-huh. what that looks like. This in the same respect, because I want to get into the fact that not only are you a woman, but you have done a lot of studying of men. So uh-huh. when women are having these conversations where we tend to demasculinize them, when that happens, as the man, is their thought thinking like she sounds like mom or she sounds like big sis? And does it change like the mental process of how they look at their mate at that point? Like, do they see her like when you said like they see her as a nagger? But in retrospect, do they think like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, she's mm-hmm. on my family, you know, my big sister. You know what I mean? Like whatever that mm-hmm. family grew up like, does he revert into that process of thinking?
I don't think he reverts into the process of comparing his wife to his mother or sister in a nagging perspective. What it really boils down to is in every aspect of a relationship with a man, especially if you are in a relationship with a masculine man, he needs to always know that he is the one who carries the masculine energy in the relationship. And the reason why that is important is because a man will view another masculine man as his competitor. And that is also no different from being in a relationship with a woman who leads with more masculinity than her femininity.
Interesting.
And when I have my demystifying men events, I say this to the ladies all the time. I was like, a masculine male cannot make love to a masculine female because that masculine energy now denotes to him that you're not his lover, but his competitor. And so then you'll find that competitive nature within relationships. He can't be loving to his competition. And so it's important to, as women, when we go out into the world and when we go out into the workforce and when we go out, you know, into our own businesses, we have to assert a level of masculine energy in order to move forward. But if you have a good man at home, and let's say you want to keep this man, you know, if you don't want to keep him, then you do what you want to do. But if you want to keep this person in your life long term, then it would behoove you as a woman to come home and to let him continue to be the man in the household. You know, as an attorney, you can't cross-examine your husband every time you get into an argument. You can't bring that energy into your home, who you are. If you're an attorney during the day,
right.
You're in the courtroom, be that during the day. But when you're home, be the wife, be the woman. And it doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you're submissive. It just means you're not the man. And I want women to start to really learn to own their personal power in their feminine self, in their energy. You know, the femininity is a feminine woman is not the opposite of a masculine male. You see, it's the feminine woman that learns how to seduce him. And it goes back to influence. When you really learn how to influence, utilize your femininity to be influential, you're actually the most powerful person in the relationship. Powerful.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I agree.
You're the dominant power.
Right.
Not the masculine man.
Right. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
That's golden right there, sis. That's golden.
Awesome.
Tap into that. And that is you touched on demystifying men. Talk about that.
Yeah.
Talk about what that's about.
It's my passion project. Demystifying Men is two parts. Number one is it's the book. I wrote a book titled Demystifying Men, the Blueprint. And what I shared with you about the different archetypes, about the lover, the warrior, the intellect, you know, the magician or the king, that information is in Demystifying Men, the book.
Okay.
Not only do we talk about the good and the sweet stuff, we also talk about the not so sweet stuff within those archetypes. But at the event, you get that information and so much more, because the Demystifying Men event is where we talk about how men develop. And at their different developmental stages in their life, they have different requirements and needs in relationships. And I teach women how to be powerful in understanding and identifying where he is in his developmental type, in his developmental stage, rather, and you asking yourself, is this us? As a woman, is this us, mind, body, and spirit? If where he is where he is in life, does that match what we need, mind, body, and spirit? And if it does, and it feels good, then let's move forward. But if you know you're at the stage in your life where you're ready for him to be a king, but he's still acting like a playboy, is this us, mind, body, and spirit? Yeah, it might be. It might feel good body-wise.
Right.
But in your mind and in your spirit, does he feel equally as good to your mind and your spirit as well? And if he doesn't, then, you know, prevent yourself from making a very a mistake that can last a lifetime by not even pursuing that any further, despite how much he's interested in you and despite how much he's pursuing you. He's just not ready for you. He's not the complete and total man for where you are in your life. And so that's the information that I equip women with at the Demystifying Men event.
Nice. And that's just a snippet. To get more, you're going to have to go to the Demystifying event. you can demystify some men and go into it. That's absolutely amazing. So I wanted to get a little bit more into Miss Rachel Davis. So you talked about how your current marriage has blossomed. Has it blossomed because of the things that, like, while you're learning these things, or did it take you learning these things to make the relationship what it is today?
Great question. It's two parts. It's a constant evolution. It's a constant growth. And so I choose to not stop growing. And since I don't stop growing, neither has my relationship. Neither has my marriage.
Mm.
I continue to grow. He continues to grow. We continue to grow together. And so it becomes better. It becomes sweeter when we learn more, because when you know better, you do better.
Facts.
And as a result of knowing better, I'm able to do better.
Right.
And as a result of doing better, he follows suit in that, because he likes what he's receiving. He likes what he's getting. He likes how I make him feel.
Right.
And so he's going to continue to give me more of what I want and more of what makes me function best, so that he can get the best of me.
Nice.
And that's the work that I do with couples as well, because it doesn't make sense for this information to just be received by one person in the relationship. So one person is doing all the work and the other person is just receiving and not learning how to reciprocate. You know, it's one thing to pray for a man, keep praying, praying, praying for him, but wouldn't it be nice if he prayed for you too?
Right. And absolutely. So, or even receive some of this stuff I've been praying for.
Absolutely. You know, it's nice to grow, but wouldn't it be better to grow together?
Right.
And that's the work that we do with couples. And so my marriage today is definitely sweeter than it was 5 years ago and better than it was when we first got started, because of the evolutionary and the growth process that we're both on together. And so part of what got me in this space was I was married to a man who certainly was not regular and wasn't typical by no stretch of the imagination. And I wanted to make sure that I matched that uniqueness in who he was as an individual.
Right.
And so, like I said earlier on in our conversation, I knew I was good. You know, I just wanted to be the best.
So you said your husband's unique.
Him to want to be the best as well.
You said your husband now is unique.
I think so.
And mm-hmm. let's delve into that. What's the uniqueness we need to be looking for to get these warriors and kings? Like, and I know it's not one simple answer, but I need to talk about it. Let's talk about it. So what was it about him that put you in a space that was like, no, I can do this. This needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it mm-hmm. for Miss Rachel that said, yep, you got it.
You got it. The one thing I can honestly say was he did not mentally bore me.
Mm.
I wasn't bored. He always, always, always found ways to intellectually stimulate me. And it was conversation, it was experiences, and it was sometimes a combination of the conversations while having the experience.
Right.
He brought different things to my awareness. He brought different concepts, different philosophies, different way of thinking about things, different way of looking at things. He wasn't the regular, typical, you know, he wasn't average.
I love that.
And yeah, and so I was immediately attracted to his mind. Now he's sweet on the eyes as well, but I was immediately attracted to and stimulated by his mind, and as a result of that, you know, there was that mental joust going on between the two of us, and I loved it. And he loved it as well. And it was making sure we maintained that. So that's what I mean by he's not typical. He's not average.
Right.
You know, he's not regular.
I love
and
it.
And
you sound so in love. I don't even want to talk about it no more. Moving right along. So I know, like, Miss Rachel Davis has a host of things that you're into.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure before we close out the show that you have the opportunity to talk about the cultivating confidence that I have watched on YouTube, like all of them. I want you to get into your Demystifying Men projects and where we could get into that. Just tap into everything that is Rachel Davis. So give us everything, all your social media. Just help us tap into you.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. My pleasure. First and foremost, Demystifying Men, the book, my newest passion project, can be found on Amazon.com. Go into the search bar and type Demystifying Men, the blueprint, and the book will come up. So that's the number one way you can definitely get introduced to a lot of really good and juicy, yummy things about demystifying men.
Nice.
And when you do get the book, email me, because at least 4 times a year, I have a virtual book club where women from all over the world, we get together and we read Demystifying Men. We talk about the 4 major archetypes and we delve into it
nice.
Every week. Yes. And so if you have any personal questions, if you're like, you know what, I think my husband's a warrior, but I'm not quite sure how to get him to soften up a little bit. We talk about that. If you're like, you know, unfortunately, I'm attracted to men who lead with lover, but with the lover, they don't just love me. They love me and other women. How do I make that different for myself? We talk about
Let's talk about it. Good.
Yeah,
Let's talk about it.
So I'm having 4 book clubs for 2020, and I'm in the middle of the first one right now. So after you get the book, send me an email, and you can email me at lovebyracheldavis@gmail.com, and I'll definitely make sure you're on the waiting list for the next one. Social media handle, Instagram is lovebyracheldavis. Facebook is also lovebyracheldavis. Twitter is lovebyracheldavis. And last but not least, my website, where you can get access to the Confidence Chronicles ebook, is www.lovebyracheldavis.com. And for any speaking engagements, you can certainly reach out to SK Publications, my publicist, and she'll be able to facilitate that with you as well.
And what's her information?
Sandy Kane, PR@gmail.com. Sandy is S-A-N-D-I. K-A-N-E.
Awesome. Well, y'all heard it. Y'all, I don't know what else to say. I feel like the relationship whisperer has spoken. It has thus been said. So wow. Everything, she has branded everything Love by Rachel Davis. So y'all can hit her up at Love by Rachel Davis on all platforms. Make sure you check her out. Go get the book, Demystifying Men, on Amazon right now. She does the whole virtual book club, which is super dope, you guys. You do not want to miss out. Miss Rachel Davis, thank you so much for being on the show today. You have exemplified exactly what I love to do here, which is change and shift the paradigm. So I want to give you the all shift salute. Thank you so much for being a part of the show.
We are grateful.
And I'm just super excited. I love this conversation so much. Thank you so much, Miss Sandy Kay. Thank you so much, Miss Rachel Davis. We appreciate you. And you guys, thanks for listening to the Paradigm Shift Convo.
Back in the day, wooden soapboxes were used as platforms for orators to speak to the masses. And now, these speakers are known as slammers, spoken word artists, poets, exposing divisive culture and their souls. 3 minutes at a time. And this segment is my modern day wooden platform. So listen carefully as a new artist takes the stage and I bring you today's 90 Second Soapbox.
Hello, this is Shy Francis and my poem is titled Waiting on You. And I hope you all enjoy this one. Waiting on you, wasting my time because you're selfish. And you got too much pride, and I swear that I'ma kill you. Baby, you about to die, cause I know I'm not the only girl that's running through your mind. And I hate you. I swear I hate you. And I promise that I'll never ever take it back. And all the love things that I said to you, I take it back. All the time that we spent, wish I could take it back. You a hoe, a bitch boy, that's a fact. The whole time I was with you, I was down to ride. You took advantage of the fact that I was by your side. Be on the lookout for the reaper, cause I hope you die. That's just what you get for always feeding me those lies. Knew you'd do it, yeah, I knew it, so I blame myself. And you did it, yeah, you hit it, hope you burn in hell. Your invitation should be there, so go ahead, check the mail. You're a monster. But I love the way you scare me. Won't say your name, because I know that you can hear me. Rhyme on this beat because this heat too hot to carry. I really fell for your words, but baby, barely. It just hurts to know I put you first. Yeah, just to learn that you're the worst. In the end, you were the worst. Because I thought I loved you. I never put nothing above you. But now I'm screaming, fuck you. I should've never cuffed you. Why did I ever trust you? Should've known I couldn't trust you. But I loved you. Now I'm feeling stupid, fuck that nigga Cupid. I'm just gonna be ruthless, I'm just gonna be that bitch. I'm just gonna stack my chips, I'm just gonna be savage. Cause you want the rat bitch, yeah you want those ratchets. I can't deny how I feel inside. Sit down in my room alone and wonder why. After all this time still want you by my side. And you won't never change, but at least I tried. But for the bullshit, I don't got no time. and that's all. I hope you guys liked it. If you want, you can follow me on Instagram at SpicyShy. That is Spicy, S-H-A-I-I. Also, you can add me on Snapchat at ShylaBabes, S-H-A-I-L-A-B-A-B-E-S. I love you all. Goodbye.
So this concludes another episode of the Paradigm Shift Convo. We are here every single Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For everything Simply Tea and to get previews to upcoming shows, visit simplyteepoetry.com. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. This is your girl, Simply T, doubly poetry. Y'all know what to do. Get at me.